All right, so I'm going to talk about quantum simulation with trapped ions. And we have an experimental group at the IQC, 2 kilometers from here. And the group started about a year and a half back, and we are still building an experimental system. So in this talk, I'm going to give you just a brief overview of the kind of system that we are building and some ideas to towards doing quantum simulation with these trapped ion systems. Our goal is to build a trapped ion quantum simulator. And for the experimentalists in the audience, maybe this is what a typical lab looks like, trapped ion quantum simulator. And if you like playing with optics, you'll probably appreciate the modular structure that we are building the system in. Right now, we are commissioning 2 ion traps. The one we are almost, we are about to trap, hopefully in a few weeks, our first ions and start doing some experiments. And then we are also in the design phase for another ion trap, which will be, which will allow us to do quantum simulation on a long chain of ions, hoping about, this should be able to trap about 50 ions or so, and having more control here. So that's about it for my experimental slides. And I don't think I need to motivate quantum simulation to most of you. Basically, we are trying to use a very well-controlled quantum system. In our case, it's a laser-cooled trapped ion system with manipulations done, performed by lasers to essentially simulate other many-body quantum systems that may be intractable on classical computers. So this is a typical schematic of this experimental hardware, and you are trying to solve maybe some spin model. We heard about the transverse filizing model from Tim in the morning, and you let the quantum system actually do the unitary time evolution because the laws of quantum mechanics are inbuilt there, and then at the end of the unitary time evolution, you do some measurements and try to get the answer to whatever question you're trying to understand, which in the context of many-body quantum systems could be what's the ground state, or if you have a Hamiltonian, what is the phase diagram of the Hamiltonian, quantum phase transitions and questions like that, entanglement, how do you characterize states and things like that. So in an ion trap, this is just a schematic of an ion trap. Essentially, you have a bunch of electrodes. You apply static and radio frequency voltages to trap a chain of ions. Our choice of ions is ytterbium. That's also a very popular ion among many other groups for many great atomic properties. And if you look at the internal state of these ytterbium ions, you will find hyperfine states, much like the hyperfine of a hydrogen atom. And those hyperfine states are very long-lived qubits. So you can encode your 2-qubit states, or if you're talking in spin language, the 2 states of a spin half system, a pseudo spin half system, in the hyperfine states, and you have a qubit. Essentially, this whole system is actually housed in an ultra-high vacuum, which is far, far away from most of the your sources of noise. So it's in vacuum, and that kind of isolates the system very well. A few quick pointers about why trapped ion is a great platform. Because these are atomic qubits, all qubits or spins are essentially identical. That simplifies the experiments quite a lot compared to some solid-state systems. The coherence time is very long, especially in the hyperfine qubits. And people have demonstrated coherence time of more than 10 minutes in single isolated ions. We can initialize the quantum state, especially product states. And we can detect them with almost near perfect fidelity, many nines, like 99.9999% fidelity is possible. We can do high quality, high fidelity control of single qubit gates or individual spin manipulation. And if you're again talking in quantum simulation language, that's equivalent to simulating magnetic fields, essentially, in this system. And also perform interaction between spins. So rest of my talk is going to focus on the interaction part between spins, which is also what you use to entangle qubits. Kind of a very crucial point for the trapped ion system, which we'll elaborate on, is that the interaction graph is essentially a fully connected system. So it's not a nearest neighbor interaction, and we have a lot of control over the interaction graph between systems. So even though physically the ion chain is a linear ion chain for constraints of the trap itself, because of the presence of the long-range interaction, in principle, we can modify the connectivity and study any geometry that we want. Essentially, we can recreate the interaction graph of a target geometry could be a two-dimensional spin system or a three-dimensional spin system, and so on and so forth. So just to give you a brief idea about how the interaction is mediated in this ion system. So let's say you have a chain of ions. Each of them is a qubit state. And because these are charged particles trapped in an external confining potential, they have collective vibrational modes. And we first cool down the system to the ground state, quantum mechanical ground state, and therefore can talk about exciting or de-exciting coherently these collective phonon states. So you bring in one laser beam, let's say, and flip the spin and excite a phonon in any collective mode. And then you can entangle a second ion by essentially destroying that coherent phonon and flipping it. So essentially, the two spins got entangled by sort of exchanging this phonon between them, exciting and de-exciting. And because this operation involves two spins, effectively, if you write down the Hamiltonian, it looks like an Ising kind of Hamiltonian or a flip-flop Hamiltonian. There are some details here I'm not going to explain now. But you have fairly easy access to the Hamiltonian, these kind of Hamiltonians. If you look at the interaction, so Jij is the interaction between ith and jth spin. That interaction, as you can imagine, is proportional to what's the laser power that I'm shining on ith ion and the jth ion. So that is parameterized by the Rabi frequency. It's essentially proportional to the laser, the electric field, so laser power essentially. And because we are using these normal modes of vibration, it matters which normal mode exactly that I am exciting to mediate these interactions. So mu is essentially the laser frequency, which I can tune to excite one of n different vibrational, collective vibrational modes in this trapped ion system. To give you an idea of kind of what kind of interaction profile we can generate very easily using just a global laser beam with one frequency, this axis just shows for an arbitrary chain of ions, frequency of all the normal modes, they're non-degenerate. And if I tune my laser frequency close to the highest mode in the transverse direction, which is the center of mass mode, this is where all the ions move together with equal amplitude, then that translates into an all-to-all coupling with equal strength for the Ising spin. So effectively, it's an infinite range interaction. Similarly, if I change my interaction to other spots, then different other normal modes with different coupling to spins come into play, and we can have an exciting opportunity to study spin physics involving, let's say, long-range antiferromagnetic interaction competing with short-range ferromagnetic interaction. So chances to observe domain walls and things like that. Okay. One important point about the trapped ion system is that because we have the spins interaction is mediated by the phonon modes. It's essentially a fully coupled system, and that also has advantage in quantum computing. For example, you can look at this paper where there was a direct comparison between a 5-qubit system at IBM and Maryland, and the full connectivity here gives advantage to realizing some of the quantum algorithms with an advantage. So the question that we are trying to answer in our research is, can one, in principle and in practice, control this interaction graph completely so that I can essentially reprogram in a real experiment here? And the answer is yes, and there are different ways to achieve that. The full analog way of tuning the system is, instead of shining just one global laser beam and having one frequency, you shine local laser beams, and you essentially control the coupling of each spin or qubit with each phonon modes. And there are n phonon modes in the system, n qubits. So in principle, you have order of n square couplings. And again, the Rabi coupling is proportional to the product of the Rabi frequencies. But now the Rabi frequencies assume two indices. I means which ion I'm shining the laser on, and n means what's the frequency of the laser that I can use to choose which phonon mode I'm exciting. And mu n is the frequency of the phonon mode. So by carefully choosing these Rabi frequencies, we can essentially recreate the interaction graph of different geometries. For example, 2D lattice, in square lattice, Kagome lattice. And this, because it's programmable, I can change between lattice geometries during an experiment, which is something, it's a very hard knob in most real systems, right? While we are trying to do that, we realize that actually, if you have a target interaction and if you want to find what is the control parameter, the Rabi frequencies, it's actually a very hard problem because it involves a nonlinear optimization to tune the quantum simulator to find the Rabi frequencies. And we realized that this is an example of an equation where one direction, that is, if you know the Rabi frequencies, you can find out Jij trivially. It's just one line of arithmetic. But this direction is very hard. If you know the, if you want a target interaction graph, you want to find the Rabi frequencies. So we decided to use machine learning, neural network, to do that. And actually, it works quite beautifully. So the idea is your internal states are the target Jij, and you have a bunch of machine learning neural networks. And the output are just basically the Rabi frequency matrices. So I can talk later about the details if you ask me, but basically this method works very well, and we can achieve pretty much any arbitrary interaction graph using this method to within 1% of error between the target coupling matrix and the desired coupling matrix, and some examples for a triangular lattice and even a 3D lattices are presented here. These are just the interaction graph here. Okay, and this method scales quite well. In the remaining like 1 or 2 minutes of my talk, I'm going to talk about slightly different approach. In this previous method, where I'm engineering the target geometry by tuning all of these lasers, I need order n squared control. So it's a very fine-tuned system and requires a lot of overhead from an experimental point of view. So we can relax a lot of that constraint if we give up the idea of simulating the target interaction graph or the Hamiltonian in continuous time and adopt a hybrid analog digital idea. So instead of, for example, a four spin system, I can trivially make it very long range connected by using a one frequency central mass mode. And I can then use some set of global gates on them, single qubit gates, to essentially cancel a certain sets of interactions. And therefore I can realize another geometry, for example, a square lattice at discrete times, essentially. So it's a hybrid geometry. For that, the requirement is an additional piece, which is a site-dependent access to rotate the spin phases. So it's much like an echo, many-body version of an echodynamical decoupling kind of experiment. So this is basically shown here. In a fully analog system, you tune all of your laser frequencies so that the Hamiltonian you're simulating is simulated in real time with this coupling. And in this hybrid scenario, we have much simpler laser frequency control, global laser beams, and I apply a bunch of pulses, and the desired geometry, in this case, the square lattice geometry, is achieved only at discrete steps at discrete, you know, integer multiple of t cycles, essentially. And if you look at one of these patterns, it's actually fairly simple and experimentally implementable. What you want to do is you want to apply the global Hamiltonian with just one frequency, very easy, one big laser beam, and then you apply that individual gate, single qubit gates, and you switch back and forth. Optionally, you can use a negative of the Hamiltonian, which can also be simulated fairly easy in this particular system. And you have control over the timing sequences, which you can play to essentially get, cancel certain interactions and rescale certain interactions to realize your interaction curve. So for case of the four ions, for example, you can show that this dot points, which are the Hamiltonian at discrete time, exactly matches. This is all numerical simulation. We haven't done the experiments yet with the full evolution here. And this method scales linearly, the number of pulses you need with the system size within a time cycle. As I mentioned before, a great advantage of this method is you can dynamically change your Hamiltonian. So you can switch from one lattice geometry to another lattice geometry in an experiment, and that opens up lots of opportunities to do quantum quench type experiments and so on and so forth. So let me skip here. Finally, I will advertise part of Crystal's talk later during this session with Crystal Senko's group. We are at Waterloo, we are building an open access trapped-ion quantum computer. And the idea is to give you, who may not have expertise with trapped ions or lasers, give access to this quantum machine with a fine-grained control of the system. Which can, in principle, you can extend the operation to beyond qubit, but qdit operations, we are building capability to implement some of the error correcting protocols and also some of the hybrid classical quantum algorithms that we heard about in the morning. So with that, let me thank you.
We have some time for a couple questions.
Could you implement this other interaction between the spins and the secreto?
Say that again?
Could you implement this other interaction between the spins?
Yeah. Would I implement, is that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the goal, exactly, in the experiment. Sorry, I missed the question.
Disorder.
So imagine that I have a classical, let's say, Isola is in modern, let's say, our underground state.
Got it. So if we add disorder, for example, let's say you have these Rabi frequencies, right, and that's noisy, that would affect the how close you can get to the target spin coupling. So we is that your question? And
so my question is that I'm thinking about solving optimization problems.
Okay.
Basically, can map into disorder easing
model. Oh, I see.
So I have my couplings that I know exactly that a disorder better fix.
Yeah.
So suppose that I want to somehow encode them in the quantum simulator and then find ground state.
Yes. So let's talk maybe afterwards. But yes, that's certainly something that we can think about. Right now, what we show that doesn't matter. If you can write down the coupling using this machine learning network, we can find the solution of how to tune the quantum simulator. And yes, we can definitely address some of those questions. Yeah.